I'm so fired up. Yo, cuz.
You ought to be. We went back to back for the first time in 2 months. Yo, you know what I'm saying?
First time in a couple months we've been going. We just went back to back weeks. So we're getting back into our flow. So you know how we're doing it. So it's this. I think this is the first time you ever had a show on Halloween. And me and you was driving over here earlier today. And you was telling me about all this Halloween stuff, yo. Like, you wish you was trick-or-treating. Like, don't dog. Like, you know, this is like
one of the worst days, man.
Nah, man.
Me and my kids. Dating back to when we was chilling with my grandmother, we used to dress up, you know what I'm saying? Go get some candy. And we used to be our favorite characters and everything like that. And that's what we do. Ain't nobody celebrating the devil and none of that dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? This dude is so... He got such a stick up his ass.
You know what I'm saying? Man.
Like, relax. Nobody's worshiping the devil, man. Like, relax.
Listen,
it's a holiday. Ain't nobody opening up no devil Bible, going, I'm done, when you don't get. You know what I'm saying?
The fact that you're imitating other people is part of the tradition. It's just crazy.
And
what I'm
just
trying to say is that for black people, man, like, why we always got to follow this European pattern of nonsense?
You follow European patterns every day.
Like, what European pattern am I following?
You do. You wear shoes.
No, we talking about. You know what I'm saying? That's the most ignorant shit I've ever heard a black man say.
I'm just joking, man. But the thing about it is this.
The perceptions of black people in Africa and all that,
you take shit too far.
No, I'm talking.
You take shit too far.
I'm trying to change a mentality.
All right. Dig this,
right? We're trying to change your mentality. We're going to take it here, right? No, real talk.
Your job was to make cuts at, you know, the bus station. Now, several of my homies work for that bus station.
Come on, man.
So you predominantly put seven black men out of a job.
I didn't put seven black
men. So if you
want to
talk, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Now you're trying to call me a Republican.
No, but what I'm saying is, if we're going to take it there, let's take it there.
Now you're trying to call me a Republican.
Did you make the cuts?
Okay. Didn't you make these cuts? Can I talk about this?
Two of my clients that were at the meeting that saw you called me at the barbershop like, yo, I got to get my hair cut on a separate day from homeboy because he used to be cool with it, but now this boy just put me out of a job.
All right. That's not true. Can I tell myself? I'm gonna keep it real quick.
We can get Ra on the phone.
We can get real on the phone.
No, we can get Ra on the phone. The person that it happened to.
Call him up.
We'll call him up.
Listen, I'm on.
We're gonna get some time, and we're gonna call Ra up.
So let me just teach you guys some things about financing here. It's you know me as one who understands finance. It's my job to find the ways to maximize the opportunity not only for my clients but also for the students that I represent for the city of Philadelphia. And I have to make sure that the resources are going to the proper people and to the proper chains, and it's not by manipulated through union means and where people are brokering and bartering on top of the system in the city of Philadelphia. And that's what I was doing. Now, in terms of the situation, in regards to that, What my job was to come and do is find where were the deficiencies of the department and try to find creative ways for us to eliminate those costs so we can have and to disseminate those dollars to the proper channels. That's what my job was to do. Now, in terms of this, what we found out is that this particular department was abusing the overtime by 40%. All right. By 40%. You know what I'm saying?
People not trying to hear that 40%.
No.
They want to pay their bills.
Listen, I understand everybody has bills to pay, but you know what I'm saying?
They didn't even come and get haircuts because you cut it.
I'm not even going to tell you what job it is.
You cut me 80 bucks in that one month because of your cuts.
80 bucks.
You did.
I'm just trying to tell you.
He used to give me 40.
I'm trying to get the books back to 20. I'm trying to get the kids to have books, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and they still don't have books. Listen, so what was the cut for?
Well, you know what? I can only do my part. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. We gave everybody options to grow within the system. So if you did lose your job, we also had platforms for you to go and find work in other places. Now, the problem with that is that, of course, it's not as cushy as the Philadelphia School District. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that situation was just like, you know, listen, I understand. Life is tough. You know what I mean? I got cut in my first job too. 9/11, the towers hit, the stock market went down. They kept everybody on for 9 months, and then they slashed 5,000 jobs. Like, that's just reality. That's business. That's life. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how it works. You know what I'm saying? What you do is you build up your skills, and you keep pushing forward, and you find another way. I'm not trying to steal from nobody, but the point was, we found options for them to actually build and grow, and instead of doing that, they started to pout. I can't do nothing about that.
He did grow. He actually went and got a PK sent from California, so he up right now.
Oh, what? Now we going way beyond the way.
Hey, he had to do what he had to do. You took him off his job.
Come on, man. I ain't.
You, he had to go back to the streets.
You tie me into conspiracy. All right, so check it out.
Watch when you come at me.
So check it out, man. Listen. I don't even know how the conversation even went there. We was talking about Halloween, yo. Seriously, okay. So we'll catch back on that. I don't know how we got there.
Hey, we went way beyond the whistle. Somebody got hit out of bounds. A flag was thrown.
A flag was thrown. I want people to understand that both people got jobs to do. He had a job to do. I had a job to do. So listen, that's how it works. That's life. All right. Eagles recap. We team bounded up. Went out to London, Wembley Station. I mean,
you know what?
Out in Wembley, I'm stuttering. I don't care. So, Bust Man Podcast, got with radio. We go, wait a minute. What's the, okay, still. Seriously, we played the Jaguars. Both teams had a must win. Jaguars were Super Bowl favorites. We talked about this in last week's show. They've been on a downturn. They've lost 5 straight games now after the loss to the Birds. The Birds, this was a must win for them. We are the defending Super Bowl champions. And when we needed the most, Carson Wentz came through. Let's just be honest.
Listen. Carson is who I said he was, but the most the craziest thing about this win was, like last week you said, it was a must win. We both thought that they would come through, but it looked like to me in the third quarter the Jags quit.
They quit.
They did not bond as compared to last year's Jaguars team to this year's. You know, Ramsey did a lot of talking. And you got to watch what you're putting in the air, the air in the universe, especially the football gods are listening. The football gods are listening. So Ramsey hyped up, you know, the Jags defense and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? But they were missing one piece. And that's Fournette that normally controls the clock in the run game.
See, that's
it masks how bad, you know, Bortles is. Bortles, they gave Bortles that money and he wasn't worth it. You know, my man went down. You know, Fournette went down. And then that was it. Now, the Jags got to keep going back on the field and keep going back on the field. Now, each week, I don't know if you noticed this in any other situation, Carson Wentz just gets better. As the season goes on, he just gets better. And his confidence grows and he's making plays. He's looking like the white Randall Cunningham out there. If he got to sit in the pocket and look like Jaworski, like, Carson is made up of each and every Eagle quarterback we have, except the deficiency of McNabb throwing in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? You know how McNabb used to scramble around. He would find an open person, but he would throw a quack. You know, but he found Goddard between 3 defenders.
I'm telling you.
Yo, it was just like the Wentz magic looked like his back.
Because that's really important, because the one thing that I don't think people talk about enough is the greatness of Carson Wentz and how good he can be. Because when you think about Wentz, is that Wentz last year was playing at an MVP level.
Wentz.
He was the MVP of the league.
Was at an MVP level, and he was ranked, I think, number 3rd in all-time NFL top 100 players.
Okay, so when we think about the greatest, well, not the greatest, but when we think about the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz is one of the only quarterbacks that can outdo them. Real talk. I mean, Carson Wentz is one of those guys that can outdo at any given day. On any given day, Carson can be the best player on the field.
He makes the team better.
I'm telling you, Jared Goff doesn't have that quality. You know what I'm saying? Kirk Cousins don't have that quality. They don't. No, he has weapons.
He just beat Aaron Rodgers. Goff just beat Aaron Rodgers.
He did beat Aaron Rodgers.
You give Goff the ball and it's over.
Listen, I don't think Goff I don't think
Goff sees the field.
Goff really understands the offense.
He understands it very well.
He really does understand his offense. But what I'm trying to say in terms of Wentz, I'm saying Wentz at any given time can be the best player on the field. You know what I'm saying?
He was last week.
And that goes against any team. Like, I'm looking at the Eagles' schedule right now, and like, I know some people think it's impossible. I think the Eagles can go 7-1 in these last eight games.
I don't want to do that. I just want to go week to week, because once we start we didn't think the Eagles were going to be
we're at 4-4, but as you said before, that Wentz is getting better every single week, so you're starting to see the progression. So we're coming out on a bye, right? And we had the Cowboys at home on Monday night. I'm sorry, on Sunday night. That should be a win. All right. Then we have a tough game against the Saints. All right. Let's say we drop that joint. But after we drop the Saints, I say we run the table. Like, maybe I say we run the table. We're going to lose one game between now and the end of the year. That's either Saints or the Rams.
I'm not sold on the Washington game because of the double moves. You know what I'm saying? With the running game that they have and the double moves, I'm just not sold on it.
All right. So let's talk about Washington a bit, because they are better than I thought.
They should have picked up Adrian Peterson. When I tried to tell everybody, I tweeted it. I told anybody who would listen to go get Adrian Peterson. Nah, he's washed.
Yeah. I was with you. I always thought Peterson had a little bit left in the tank. I didn't know he had this much left in the tank. Damn, they lead the league in rushing. But I always knew he had a little bit left in the tank. But I just don't see the diversity in Washington's offense. I mean, Washington went tooth and nail with the Giants last week. We know the Giants are trash. Now the Giants are
divisional games. They're always tough.
Exactly. I was going to say that. Those games are always tougher than regards to the record. So I just don't see the firepower. I understand Peterson's still a beast. I mean, I just don't see what the firepower. Alex Smith, like, Carson Wentz should outdo him, and our defense should be able to put these guys in check. And I think Carson can move the ball on that defense. I'm just not impressed with anything Washington does. And, you know, tell me how Washington can win, yo.
Running the ball. And you know what?
But you act like the Eagles aren't good against the run. Like, that's where we're strongest at. Like, we're number two or three in the rush against the run.
They are, but when it came down to it, when they played the Panthers ran the ball on the Eagles. And then when they step up and made that mistake, Alex Smith gets the job done. That's just what
you're picking on.
I'm going against our secondary too. I'm not sold on the secondary, because right now Washington is looking at film like, these dudes, we're going to take the secondary to McDonald's. We're going to buy them McDoubles, because the Eagles secondary bite on McDoubles. I'm surprised they ain't at McDonald's now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're always at McDonald's buying McDoubles, cuz. So,
Just saying, listen. Okay, so one thing we haven't talked about regarding Washington, because we don't say the other name, is that they do have a very good offensive line. They have a really good offensive line, and they have drafted offensive line over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's really starting to pay off. I understand that, but I think our defensive line is stout. I just love the addition of Golden Tate, so let's talk about that for a second as well. And I just don't see Washington's weapons on offense enough. And I know our guys have been beaten by the double move, and I want Schwartz is on notice right now. He has 2 weeks to decompress all this information. They got to go to a more aggressive style. He has to stop sitting in those lazy zones.
I can't blame Schwartz, because this is what he's been winning with. Now, I hate to do this. It's LSU. When you got Jalen Mills and Sidney Jones, all you got to do is have a receiver put their foot in the ground and they bite. That is not. Maybe they can be coached up more,
But these guys is constantly biting on double moves that just make no sense. Now, Rodney McLeod is gone, and I don't think people understood how solid he was back there with Michael Jenkins, like Malcolm Jenkins. Like, they could, the other corner can make mistakes because Rodney will step up and crack you. But these double moves that these cornerbacks, and I'm glad Rasul Douglas is on the field.
Hold on a second. I'm going to tell you something, Jay. Why are guys able to make double moves? Like, where is Chris Long? Where is Fletcher Cox? Like, why are these guys able even to even do a double move? Why?
Oh, you want to know why? I got footage in my phone right now of those good seats that I had at the Vikings game. And offensive line and defensive line of the Eagles got their ass whooped by Minnesota. Now, at the time, I was like, well, you know, Minnesota, that was their get-back game. They got mad because they got pissed off. They got pissed on. Their head got beer thrown on the fence. Like, we totally disrespected Minnesota to the highest degree, so they were like, okay, this is the get-back game. But, nah, this shit has been happening week after week after week. They got to do something about it. Jason Peters, he's weak. The defensive line only can do but so much.
And Lane is hurting.
Lane is, you know what? Yeah, you're going to be hurt. When you can't take those performance-enhancing drugs anymore,
well,
you're going to be hurt. You don't recover fast.
Let's talk about that for a second. So Lane Johnson has been busted for PEDs twice.
I don't care if Lane's listening either. I'm in my own time.
And one of the problems with Lane is that Lane actually started his career as a quarterback, believe it or not. He went from quarterback to tight end. And he went from tight end to left tackle. So let's think about this for a second. This man has been trying to maintain a certain weight so he can play in the NFL. And the fact that his body is probably telling him, Lane, you should probably be at 265, 275, because he's still a big dude. But Lane is constantly trying to stay at 310. And I think he's struggling now. I don't think he has the strength. I think he's been beaten bad on several occasions. He's just not as strong. He's just not as stout. And I hate to say the PEDs has a direct correlation with his performance.
Hey.
But that the proof is kind of like in the pudding. The proof is kind of like in the pudding. When he got busted up the first time, his next year was a down year. Then he went back up the next year. They caught him again, and then his plays back down again. So there's a correlation here, man. It's like, you know, people don't want to talk about it as much, but there is. So Vitae would get a chance to play on the right side because Lane's going to be out for a few weeks because he's in MCL.
And Vitae stinks.
But let's see how he plays on the right side instead of the left. It's a little bit different.
He has terrible footwork.
It's a little bit different.
He has poor arm extension. By the time he gets his arm extended, the defensive end is, you know, putting his shoulder, dipping around him. Like, he's terrible. I'd rather them, you know, gamble on, you know, my man that they got from rugby.
So let's talk about this. Eagles made a big-time move for a fourth-round pick. Roseman traded for Golden Tate, surprisingly, because Detroit is in a playoff run themselves. But they traded one of their better receivers. And I just love this move for the Birds because, again, this tells me that the Eagles are going to put the ball in the hands of Carson Wentz. And when you add one of the best route runners, most consistent players in the league. Let's say Golden Tate is a consistent playmaker. Let's just be real. I mean, no matter if he's with Russell Wilson, Stafford, it hasn't mattered. He finds seams in the passing games. He finds the end zone. He's a playmaker. So when you add this type of playmaker to a team that has Ashton Jeffrey, with a team that has Nelson Aguilar, Ertz is probably the second and third best tight end in football. Goddard scored a touchdown just last week. We still have Aguilar and Matthews. You know what I'm saying? When you add Tate to all these different pieces, what you're telling everybody is we're not going to worry about our running game. We give the ball to Carson. Carson, take us to where we got to go.
You know what? When you have, let me tell you something. Tate is like a smaller version of Alshon Jeffries. When the ball is around, he really doesn't care about the defender. He goes after it. But the best thing about him, he's a speedster. So once he gets his, you know what they call him in the NFL? His name is Mr. Yak. His name is Mr. Yak, Mr. Yards After Catch. So that's self-explanatory. You know, people can say what they want. They can say about his age. They can say whatever they want about Golden Tate. But once he attacks the ball when it's in the air and he makes plays. This just catapulted the Eagles to the next level. Now all they have to do is protect Carson Wentz, because that line right now is horrible, and I would hate to see him go down like last year. It would be horrific.
Well, I'm just saying, like, every year, like, Carson is getting, just like you were saying, Jay, every year Carson is finding a way to get better and better. Like, even this year, I mean, I know he has a couple fumbles, but Carson's at 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, yo.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. He's completing 70% of his passes.
The only other person that I believe has more touchdowns than him is Patrick Mahomes.
He's the most underappreciated. Really, on a strength, I think the stigma of Philadelphia is making people think that Carson's a black quarterback, because really, a quarterback this good should be all over the NFL. Like, this is the type of guy that the NFL should be marketing like crazy.
No, like, it's Patrick Mahomes' time right now.
Well, Mahomes is super hot right now. Mahomes is super hot. We're going to talk about him, I guess, in a bit.
He's red hot. Yeah, we're going to talk about him a little bit.
I do want to talk about some of the other moves that was made at the trading deadline. What do you think about this Washington getting Ha-Ha?
Yo, that move was kind of deep, because I'm going to tell you, Swearinger right now, he has 4 interceptions, and he's been all over the field like a madman. Playing safety, listen, Washington on the low is doing their job, and they're holding people down. Swearinger's a beast. He got 4 interceptions. You know what I'm saying? He's leading the pack right now.
Yeah.
Well, and to put Ha-Ha back there is going to get interesting.
You have 2 playmakers back there with size, speed, and range. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's interesting to see. What did you think about the Ty Montgomery deal in Green Bay? How he got pretty much traded because he was insubordinate, because they told him, bro, if the ball's kicked into the end zone, take a knee. He felt disrespected, because he felt like, yo, y'all don't have faith in me, I'm going to return it. So he said, listen.
This is when...
That's crazy.
They got him out of there, and they had every right to get him out of there, because...
Totally agree.
You have, as a player, you know yourself, okay? Oh, all right, they disrespected me, I ran out of the end zone, whatever. But I have to realize, as a player, I got fucking Aaron Rodgers. I got A-Rod, one of the comeback kings in the NFL right now. So if I was Ty Montgomery, I'd be like, man, as soon as the ball in the air, I'm putting this ball in my man's hands.
I'm putting the ball in his hands because
he's going to get it done. You're not going to get it done. How many kick returns? I can't even look it up right now. I don't know how many kick returns Ty Montgomery has. But come on, dude.
I can tell you zero.
They told him.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'd have got him out of there.
I just think it was such an ignorant thing, a selfish thing to do, knowing that you had, like, they both told everybody. I'm pretty sure you knew that you had a better chance of scoring, taking a knee, taking the 25 yards, not taking any time off the clock when every second is precious. You are part of the offense. You're going to get reps in that sequence. You're going to have a chance to touch the ball.
And then he fumbled.
And then you go out there and fumble. And then you make this terrible decision. Then you go out there and make matters worse. You fumble the ball. It's crazy.
And then this is what really set precedence up for him getting traded, right? He sat up there and they asked him, what made you do that? He was like, they didn't tell me to do that. Man, you went up there and made the coaching staff look like an ass.
They told you that, man. Get out of here.
You got
man.
The bounce.
Beat it. All right. So what do you think about the Rams picking up Dante Fowler? Because this is interesting within itself. You know what I'm saying? You got Dante Fowler.
Listen. The Jags gave up the season after the Eagles lost. They gave up the season. The way they quit, after they lost that game, they folded the season. They don't have, you know, Fournette. And they're like, listen, we got to bolster. To give Fowler to the Rams that already had...
I think Fowler's going to fit so well out there. He's going to fit so well out there.
Yo, I know we're going to talk about that later, but Aaron Donald right there is... He's my defensive MVP of the league right now. So to put that young cat with Sue,
man, it just seems like it's getting crazy out there right now.
But the Eagles made it golden. They're living a life like it's golden. So we'll see what happens.
Indeed. Okay, Texans pick up Demaryius Thomas after the loss of Will Fuller the other night. You know, he tore his ACL, so he's done. So the Texans won 5 in a row. They want to stay aggressive. And Watson is back to being Watson, yo. It took him some time, but Deshaun is back to being Deshaun again.
Right.
And the Texans are just flowing. You know what I'm saying? So I like Demaryius Thomas. I think he's the perfect.
He can rejuvenate his career.
I think he's a perfect secondary receiver. You know, Hopkins is just a monster. Like, he just makes play after play. The play that he made over the weekend where
the one-handed between the legs and they took it from him.
The one-handed between the legs and they call offensive interference on him. Like, that sounds stupid. I don't even see. Because really, the defender was pulling his arm away. That's why he only had one hand to catch it with.
Stupid.
Ridiculous. But Demaryius Thomas going to the Texans is just letting certain teams know the Texans truly believe that they have a shot. And the Texans have been a team that's been knocking on the door. Injuries has always set them back. If you can get a full season of Watson and Hopkins and Miller is now getting into the floor of the offense, and you can get Thomas into this mix, and that defense is special. J.J. Watt is back on fire again. If you can get all those pieces going, that's the kind of team that can go into New England and scare the shit out of the Patriots. Because they have so many elite athletes.
Bill Belichick ain't scared of Bill O'Brien.
That's the point. Yeah, Bill O'Brien's kind of a dude.
He's a nut.
My last question is, we didn't talk about this, is Amari Cooper going to Dallas? Do you think that's a strong move? Because I actually think it's a pretty strong move. Because I'm going to tell you why real quick. I've been rambling a lot. But Dallas has always played an offense where, and it's been consistent over the years, where they've always had the quarterback, the tight end, the running back, and the quarterback, tight end, the running back, and a receiver. And they have all these elements now, but they never had all these elements recently. So they needed that receiver once Dez went down. They needed that guy once Dez went down. And they think they got that with Cooper. And if Cooper can be the big play receiver that everyone projected him to be coming out of Alabama, and for that one or two, for that 1.5 year that he was with Oakland, if you had that person with Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott, Cole Beasley, if you start adding those kind of pieces together, Dallas, the Cowboys coming down, the stretch could be a problem, but I just don't see them defensively. We jumping straight in?
Yeah, we gonna jump straight in.
This is the Blitz Man Podcast, Glockware Radio. We go way beyond whistle. Smart people stay in the building. Coming up next, we got a very, very special guest. We're gonna keep the NFL flowing.
Listen, man. Me and this guy have been trying to hook up with the Blitz Mad Podcast for some time now. And it's a small story behind this. So when I built, you know, the stadium barbershop, you know, I put turf down, and you know, everybody sees how I have it looking like a stadium, right? Around the same time, the show, the matter of fact, the best morning show right now, Good Morning Football, you know, just aired. So I said, damn, you know what I'm saying? So let me check it out, because you know, my everybody knows when they come to the stadium, they do not change my channel. Do not change off the NFL channel. Like me and little kids, we have arguments in the morning. Like, Mr. AJ, can I turn on a cartoon? I give him the Herschel Walker stiff arm. I'm like, go sit down. And like, that's real. You're not turning off Good Morning Football. And Good Morning Football also, you know, it starts a lot of good conversation as far as football is concerned. Like a lot of great arguments, because they have a lot of great content. So with that being said, I started reaching out on Twitter. And these guys, Nate Burleson, you know, Mark Hamilton, you know, Peter and the rest of the folks on there, they were not shy. You know, they reached out. You know, they gave you interaction, and they interacted with everybody that was responding on Twitter as far as football. You know, they have great energy on the show. The content is different. And today I'm bringing in a special guest. His name is Matt Hamilton, producer of
Smart People Fishing in the Building.
Yes, Smart People in the Building, the producer of Good Morning Football. Matt, are you with us?
I appreciate it. Indeed. You've been with us since day one.
Hey, listen, man. It's only right. It's only right, man. It's only right. You know, and I've even attacked people for you guys. Like, I hate to see, you know, people coming in and talking about, yeah, well, Nate, sit down today. I don't know. I had to calm myself down because I had to remember I have a brand too. But you're not going to sit back and attack anybody that I know. You know what I'm saying? That's just not going down. Not on social media.
Nah,
not
man,
on any.
We see it all.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, sometimes we can't always comment on everything, but you know, we always appreciate you having our back. You know, sometimes, you know, if people aren't hating, then you're not doing anything right. So, you know,
exactly.
You're doing something right if people want to comment all the time. Well, mostly though, that's the thing I've been amazed with is most of the comments we get are so overwhelmingly positive that you just got to let that stuff go sometimes. But we do appreciate the defenders out there too.
Oh yeah, listen, we got you. Y'all got a whole barbershop in Philadelphia on lock, bro. You know what I'm saying? We go to bat for Good Morning Football. You know, y'all got folks. So I'm gonna just jump right into it, right? You have a background with football that goes further than TV, you know, in Mizzou. Tell me how you got into football. Did you play football when you were younger? Where did your love for football and the pigskin begin?
So I love football. I fell in love with football at 6 years old. Played growing up. I played offensive line and linebacker. And
the hammer.
When I got to high school, you know, I was pretty good as a kid. Got to high school, and I started practicing, you know, around current Rams center, John Sullivan, went to my high school.
Okay.
And, you know, being that I played offensive line, he played offensive line, and I realized that, you know, this guy is like, he was a junior in high school at the time, is, you know, like 6'3", 300 pounds, and could bench press a freaking house. I realized that I probably wasn't going to be taking my skill set to the next level at, you know, about five, at the time, I was like 5'6", like 200 pounds. I'm like, I'm probably not going to be taking this to the next level. I need to find something else to do.
But you know what, Matt? So, your nickname is the Hammer, and you must have been a bad mother if you was on the offensive line, though, you know?
Oh, I was. I was tough. I was scrappy, and I would piss people off because I'd always be scrappy. But, you know.
Exactly.
Life
kicked in.
There's only so far that can take you in this world.
Exactly.
And sometimes the most important thing you can do is understand your limitations. And while I love playing, while I had the best time of my life out on that field, I've always been somebody that's always thinking about the future, thinking about what's next. And I realized if I wanted to stay in football, which was my ultimate goal, then I needed to start figuring out something else. So I started working with the local radio station on their football broadcasts. So I started working with them, calling a bunch of high school games, things like that. Ended up going out to Mizzou, like you said, you know, chasing after that journalism school. And once I got there, I found out that they had a student coaching program. And, you know, being a coach, that was something that always intrigued me.
Hmm.
So I applied, I interviewed for it. I ended up getting a job as the student coach with the quarterbacks there with Chase Daniel. So I was there during his Heisman finalist season working with him. Had a couple seasons where we were in the top 10. Finished number 4 in the country my junior year.
Yep.
And, yeah, that was an unbelievable experience to get to do all that. After college, went back to, stuck with coaching, coached some high school football, interned at NFL Films, was a scouting intern with the Lions.
Wow.
For a year. And, that's all brought me to where I am today at Good Morning Football.
Indeed.
You know what?
In the building.
It was meant for our cross to pass because my partner here, Malik, he in 07, 08 created the best. He took football and GQ and crossed it and made it in Blitz magazine. And in his second issue that we had, we did an interview with Chase Daniels. Chase Daniels was an interview on Chase Daniels.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it was ever, it, our pass was meant to cross. You know what I'm saying?
I forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't. I kept that one in the tuck for you, bro.
I got
to get my man salute because.
I forgot about
exactly
doing the interview with Chase Daniels.
And it was a dope interview.
It was a dope interview. Matt, I got to send you a link of the magazine, man. We haven't produced it in some time, but I can show you some of the older issue, the last edition that we did with Chase in it. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Good Morning Football because as a producer of the show, I know you see a lot, you hear a lot, and you know. So we want to talk about a little bit beyond the scenes of what actually goes on with the production. And just from the overall, just like political climate that we're dealing with now, like how does the show navigate through that? Like as a producer, like how do you kind of navigate the mission of the NFL and of the show, and some of the political issues that's also attached to the players?
I mean, that's a great question, man. It's never easy. I mean, we do our best to tell both sides of the story. You know, you never want to take a side. I mean, obviously, we're all human beings. We all have our own personal beliefs and our own personal feelings about everything that's going on. But you never want to let that seep in to what you're doing. You want to tell both sides of the story as fairly as you can. And, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job as a show of doing that. And, you know, especially working for the NFL Network, working for the NFL.
Right.
You know, that's something that we always have to be conscious of. But, you know, we have a former player on our show, Nate Burleson.
I know, I know.
And we try to represent the players' issues as best we can as well.
Exactly, so, exactly. I think the narrative is that when I watch Good Morning Football, that you always have balanced and diversified responses to how the NFL should attack certain things, and it's always from a perspective where it's always in the best of the NFL. Like, they never put their own personal beliefs before the narrative of the NFL. You know, protect the shield, and that's a unique skill within itself.
Wait a minute. You know what I want Matt to do? Hey, Matt, can you do me a favor here? Could you tell Malik, because I know where Malik's going with this, right? Would you tell him how you guys materialize it? Because I remember us talking about it and how y'all formulate and materialize. And it's like they freestyle like we're doing now.
Right.
They said Kyle is an animal. Like, they come up with these ideas on the spot. Could you break that down a little bit for us?
All right. So talk about the day, a life of a show. A bit.
Yeah, so it's a uniquely produced show in a lot of ways, because everybody, you know, everybody has their own thought process, everybody has their own way of preparing, and there's so much creativity in that room. And honestly, I can't take too much credit, because the four hosts are all just so creative, so motivated, and have so many incredible ideas, and we do our best, the best that we can, to execute everything the way they want it done. But as you mentioned with Kyle, his brain just thinks so different. I mean, as you know, he's a brilliant person, and you see how he comes off on air, how quick he is with everything. But as I said, he'll have an idea and he can formulate exactly how he wants to say it. He can like write scripts in his own head, like in a break, and know exactly what he wants to say. And
can you tell Kyle?
I've never met anybody like that.
Can you tell Kyle that I called him, and we call him this in the barbershop, let him know that we call him the Jay-Z of Good Morning Football? The way he comes in freestyle, he's like the Jay-Z.
He's KZ.
He's KZ. Tell him he got a name out here in Philadelphia. It's KZ.
All right, so just so you know, Charles Davis has been on the show before, right? And we gave him the nickname Sensei. Because Charles is the sensei of the NFL. Like, even if he's wrong,
his drafts,
you still think he's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Charles is that type of guy.
And I'll jump through the social media for Charles. Like, exactly. You think I'll defend y'all. Charles is such a nice guy that I've actually gotten to arguments for like 7 hours on social media over Charles. Like, seriously.
Seriously. Yeah. We want y'all to push the sensei narrative a little bit. Because that's a fly name, you got to admit. Sensei is a fly name for somebody.
Yeah, so Kyle got a name. It's KZ.
That is, and it fits him so well. I actually, back when I was an intern, I worked with Charles. I've worked with him a couple stops along the way. He is genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever met, and he does. He has that calmness and that wisdom about him, and he always has. That's a perfect nickname.
He makes what's wrong right.
Yes.
Even when he's wrong, he'd be like, damn, is it right?
I want Charles to run for like senator or something, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, we gotta get
Charles back on here.
We gotta get Charles back on here. Okay, I do have a serious question for you, because I do want to talk about the popularity of the NFL and where it's going and do you actually see the NBA as competitors? Because we all know that the NFL is more popular in traditional media. However, in social media, is lagging behind. Let's say, for example, Russell Wilson has 5 million or so Twitter followers. I think he's like the max. And he's actually married to a celebrity as well, whereas LeBron James, like, he's the number one, and he has something like 27 million followers. So when we talk about the popularity of the NFL, is it really still the beast that we all believe it is, or does it, or do you still see the NBA as a potential competitor, and how do you expect to reach those social media views and those users?
See, I don't think we look at the NBA as a competitor necessarily. I think, you know, when athletes are winning, when athletes are doing good things, we're all winning, no matter what sport they play. And I think that a lot of the popularity of NBA players that you see, you know, there's 10 guys on the court at a time.
Right.
And you know their faces. You know, you see their faces the whole time. And I think with the NFL, and the longevity is there in that sport, more so than the NFL, other than the quarterback position.
True indeed.
I think they have both those things working in their favor. In the NFL, those guys are behind the mask all game. There's a lot more people on the field. And there's a lot more, you know, there's all that stuff in there. There's huge rosters. I think a lot of that can work against the NFL, especially the individual players' popularity. I mean, when you look at the league as a whole and the popularity of the games, and, you know, you look at every year, you look at the top 10 rated TV shows every year.
Right.
Usually 7 or 8 of them are NFL games.
True indeed.
So people are watching the games. People love watching the games. But you're right, the players don't necessarily always enjoy the same level of popularity that the NBA players do. And as you said, social media, the NBA does an incredible job of hyping itself up on social media and getting the fans involved in social media, and that's an incredible thing. You know, I think the NFL is catching up to a degree. I think, you know, what they do with the check down and capturing some of those viral moments and blowing them up has been great for promoting the league on social media. But I also wonder if some of it is like, you get that late night NBA Twitter crowd that's on around like 10 o'clock at night that's blowing up versus NFL games being at around 1 in the afternoon and all the games,
right.
So many games being on at the same time too, and it being one day a week. I wonder if that plays into it as well. I feel like the NBA Twitter users kind of establish their community because there's games every single night. You know, you get that late night vibe going with it, so I'm wondering how much that plays into it as well.
Indeed.
Well, you know what's funny, Matt? I kind of look at the NBA as using the social media to it's kind of like, you know how the young people use the social media to make it more hype than it is, to be honest with you, because the thing is this: the NFL and football is the only league, I mean, in soccer, baseball, basketball, hockey, if your team is losing in the NFL, you will still sell out the arenas. In any other sport, they will not come to the games. You know, you go to any, if you check the NFL, the NBA games where your team is like the bottom of the barrel, they're not wasting their time. They're not coming out to them. Cleveland Brown fans, Raiders fans, they're going to go buy those tickets. They're going to fill the seats. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of crazy. So, with that perspective on social media, they have done an excellent job, you know, trying to push their brand. But as far as the NFL is concerned, on the constant marketing and constant sales, I think they're still killing it.
Well, of course, I'm not doubting that. I'm actually not doubting the stability of the NFL. What I'm asking is that, you know, is, I think he answered the question in terms.
Yeah, he answered it. But what I'm just saying is, like, NBA used social media just like the young guys would. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what game, they could throw Sacramento and Portland on, and people are going to go and watch it. It has such a Twitter presence. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'll turn the game on because there ain't nothing else.
I think what the point he was trying to make was the number of games in the multiple nights a week in the demographics of the NBA. It kind of like it actually cultivates within its own sphere to gravitate to viewers and like to people, you know, responding. Whereas the NFL got that one day of dominance. You dig what I'm saying? They have that one Sunday of dominance, or they have that massive Thursday night or Monday night game, whereas the NBA has big games throughout the course of the week that people can kind of like gravitate to. And I think that's his strongest point. But I do want to ask you some other questions. What's the most demanding and the most rewarding part of working at Good Morning Football? Hello? We got you?
Hey, you guys there?
Yeah,
we're here.
We got you. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I had a little problem with my phone.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, we're good.
We're good. We're great. Have you heard my last question or no?
I missed the last question.
Talk okay. What's the most demanding and rewarding part of your job at Good Morning Football?
Most demanding, I think, is hours that we have to do. I get up usually around 3 a.m. every day. Usually don't fully get done working until around 8 o'clock each night.
Wow.
And then got to turn around and do it again.
That's a real day right there. 3 to 8? 3 a.m. to 8 at night?
Yep, pretty much.
That's a real day.
Take a little break in between.
I mean, but it's counting because you love what you do. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So what's the reward of that? So is just seeing the production, just seeing the fruits of your hard work.
Exactly. Just seeing the payoff every single day. I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy that every day is different. I enjoy that we're presented with new things each and every time out, and just getting to see the show grow, you know, being with it from day one when we were just starting out, and we were trying to feel out what we were doing and see what the show was really going to turn into, and seeing what it's turned into now and seeing how people have responded to it. Just being out in London this past week and seeing kind of the global response to it. There are so many British fans that were coming up to us and talking about how much they love watching the show. And how, you know, out there it's on in the afternoon, how they watch it while they're eating lunch, how they watch it while they wash the dishes. There was somebody that came up to Nate in tears just saying, "I can't believe you guys are here. It validates us as fans that you guys came out and made this trip for us."
Y'all guys are rock stars, Matt.
You know what? Hey, listen, Matt.
I'm my fault. You got to call him the Hammer.
Hey,
that's
Hammer.
His nickname, Hammer.
Hey, Hammer.
How you do it? Hammer, how you do it?
Real talk. I was listening to Sports Talk in Philly, and they and the radio all week was just killing the idea of the Eagles playing a game in London. And I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Which is stupid.
The idea for the game to grow from an international perspective has been a mission of the NFL for the last 20 years, and they're finally starting to break through. Like, why would you not embrace that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that should be something that Philadelphia fans and teams should embrace.
Exactly. And listen, I was there. There were 85,000 people in that building, and the number of Philly fans was overwhelming. the Eagles chants and everything there. I mean, so many people made the trip from Philly, but just so many fans from Europe were there and just enjoying the experience. It was really an incredible thing to see how many people were really, really into it.
Exactly. And when you have people who are not used to engaging with that sport finally get a chance to see it, touch it, feel it, smell it. So when you have these things, you know what I'm saying, and people are receptive to what you're offering them, it's only going to make the sport grow. And I do like the plan for the NFL to just add a few more games here every year. You don't have to have a team there. What you want to do is build the brand there, and I think that's a very smart strategy.
Exactly, and I honestly wouldn't be totally shocked if we do see a team there at some point in the not-so-distant future with the way that this thing is going, because they could absolutely support one. We had Roger Goodell on a few days ago, and basically the challenge that they're facing is just logistically, especially when it comes to the playoffs,
right,
not giving a team too big of an advantage. But if they're able to find a way around that and find a workaround, I think that's really, from what Roger Goodell told us, I think that's the only real hang-up that they have at this point.
So we're talking Mexico City and London as two possible expansion spots?
I think it's a realistic possibility. I really do.
Wow. That's big news right there. This is Blitz Man Podcast. Got more radio. Go way beyond whistle. Okay. All right. So
yeah, we have a ball here, Hammer.
So let's talk some football real quick before I let you go. What's your perspective of the 4-4 Philadelphia Super Bowl champion Eagles right now? As an outsider looking inward, where do you think we'll be in the last 8 games, and are we still contenders to defend our title?
Listen, I think this team's starting to hit its stride right now. I think you're seeing Carson Wentz playing at an even higher level than he played in that MVP caliber season last year. You know, there are issues with the run game. They haven't been able to run the ball the same way. There's the number three run game in the league last year. They're down to 20th this year.
Right.
And Jay Ajayi being out now isn't going to help anything there. But adding Golden Tate is going to take that passing game to another level. And that defense is still really good. The secondary is starting to find its way a little bit. You know, I think this is still very much a dangerous team. But the concerns, I mean, you look at that schedule down the stretch, it's brutal. I mean, the Redskins kind of have a cakewalk down the stretch. The Eagles' schedule is brutal. So that's going to be something they're going to have to navigate. But if this team gets into the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if they make another run.
See, here's the deal with the Rams, in my humble opinion, and I'm not knocking the Rams. I think they're a very strong team. However, there's not a real home field advantage for that team, especially if they have to play the Eagles, where the Eagles would go out there and buy up half the stadium. Like, the Eagles would go out to L.A. and play in 70-degree weather, and it was all good. Remember, Carson, people forget that the Eagles beat the Rams last season. Like, the Rams didn't win that game. You know, Carson went down, so it felt like a loss. But we won the game. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the Eagles would have any problem going out to L.A. in, you know, 70 degrees in January, you know, trying to defend their title. Like, what do you see how we match up with the Rams?
And tell the truth, Matt, because I'm going to say a totally different perspective. You see what I'm saying?
I think the way the Rams are playing right now, I don't think it matters where you play them.
Right.
You can play them on the moon. I think the way this team is clicking, you know, I don't think that's something that's going to affect them too much. I mean, Jared Goff, though, you look at the numbers, Jared Goff has been playing much, much better.
He's the truth.
At home than he has been on the road. But honestly, they can beat you in so many different ways. That run game will travel anywhere. And in the playoffs, you know, they always say in the playoffs, that run game, if you have a great run game, it's going to travel anywhere. It's going to give you a chance against anybody, and they have as good a run game as anyone. But man, on that defense are significant. And adding Dante Fowler, that was really the one thing they were missing was an edge rusher. They added one now in Dante Fowler.
Yeah, that's a big, we talked about that. Yeah, that's a big move.
You look at everything they have. They're such a dangerous team. Which leads me to my next one, which is I can't wait for this matchup with the Saints this weekend, because I love Saints team too.
Well,
this is going to be an all-timer, especially with them going into the dome. We'll see how much of the road environment affects them this weekend for sure, because nothing gets crazier than that place.
Well, I think they're going to smack, and you know, it's going to be a hard-fought game, but personally, I think the Rams are going to smack them around just because of the...
Really?
Listen, the Rams...
I like the Saints this week,
my
man.
My defensive MVP right now is Aaron Donald. Yo, when he's called upon, he takes it there. You know what I'm saying? And then with them getting Fowler, like, they're clicking on all cylinders right now. I would not be mad if they beat the Eagles, but I think that, you know, with what they just played with Minnesota... Jared Goff and them, they're going to go down there and they're not going to be playing around. Breeze is going to put up his numbers. Yeah, they're going to get the numbers, but the Rams are not going to be playing around right now. Gurley is playing at a high level. You know, what's his average per touch? Like something like 10, Gurley.
Average per touch? I don't
know. Average per touch. Like every time he touches the football, regardless if it's a run play or a play out of the backfield, like a pass, Goff is crazy right now.
I need to
right
pull
now.
That information up. I can grab that. But yeah, I don't know what his yards per touch is. That's a good
Gurley stat. Against anybody is a mismatch right now.
It is. He might be the MVP of the league. Is.
But I think you look at them, they have slowed a little. Like last week, they had a little trouble against the Packers there in the first half, and they figured it out in the second half. But if they start off slow against the Saints, they could find themselves getting buried, because this Saints offense is relentless too. And nobody can match up with Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas, it doesn't matter if you're blanketing him. He can just go up and make a play and out physically. And little tease for tomorrow, Nate's going to be doing his burr lesson on Michael Thomas tomorrow, so make sure you catch that.
Definitely.
Be airing around 7:30. That's going to be a lot of fun. I worked with him this afternoon to put that together. But basically just showing you why he's so tough to defend. But you just look at that offense in general, man. It's pick your poison. And Breeze is having the best year he's ever had. I mean, because he's never had weapons like a Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So he's just going to work.
Yeah.
And picking defenses apart. I mean, he's completing 77% of his passes. He set the NFL record last year, completing 72. He's completing 77%.
That is crazy. 77% of your passes is just outrageous.
Drew Brees is not playing around right now, outrageous. Man. He's not. Outrageous. But I just give the edge to the Rams because of that defensive line. You know, when a play is to be made,
I hear you. That's
Donald is.
He's unstoppable, man. He's a juggernaut.
Last question of the night. I have to actually have two. I have two questions. Is that cool?
I got you. Yes.
All right. Cool. One is football. Who can compete with the Patriots in the AFC outside of the Chiefs? Is it just the Chiefs, or does teams like the Steelers, Texans have like a true chance of competing with New England?
I think there is one other team that has a true chance of competing with New England.
Really?
And I think it's the LA Chargers.
Wow. Okay.
I think when they get Joey Bosa back, him and Melvin Ingram are dogs, and they can cause all sorts of problems for that Patriots offensive line. I think adding Derwin James has been a huge addition for them in that secondary. He's another piece that Gus Bradley has to play with. And I think when you look at what they can do offensively, they're another team that can just beat you in so many different ways. When Melvin Gordon's out there healthy, the combo of him and Eckler has been awesome. Their receiving core is incredible. You have, just a polished, good all-around number one in Keenan Allen. You have the deep threat in Tyrell Williams. You have an incredible red zone threat in Mike Williams. You have the speed of a Travis Benjamin. And then you have Phillip Rivers playing the best football of his career as well.
Yeah.
That team is dangerous. That team is very dangerous. I mean, you look at them. They're 5-2. Who are their two losses to? The undefeated Rams
and the Chiefs
in week one, where nobody knew what the hell that old thing was going to be.
Nobody knew about Mahomes. Nobody knew about Mahomes.
He's like the exactly. But Mahomes is like the exorcist right now. He's like, his head is spinning around. Like, Mahomes is just crazy.
Yeah. He's been great. I tell you, though, when you look at what they're doing offensively and the pieces that they have, he's been great, and I'm not trying to take away from him, but I'm just trying to put it into some perspective. The play design has been incredible, and it makes it a lot easier when you have a guy like Tyreek Hill who is open on every single play because he's the quickest human being I've ever seen in my entire life.
Cheetah.
And you have Kareem Hunt in the backfield, and you have a Sammy Watkins that can stretch the field, and you have one of the best tight ends, probably the best tight end in the game right now, Travis Kelce. When you have all those pieces to play with, I mean, look at how many of his touchdowns are guys just running free. Or Sammy Watkins matched up on a linebacker, or, just throwing a little pitch in front of him on a sweep to Tyreek Hill that counts as a touchdown pass. So when you look inside the numbers as to how those are coming about, he's made some incredible throws along the way, but this isn't like when we've seen Aaron Rodgers put everything on their backs and just carry a team. He's got everything working for him right now, and he has made the most of it and maximizing what he's getting out of it. But you got to give credit to everything in that offense right now for how it's working.
True indeed. Smart.
You know what?
In the building.
Listen, I've caught on to Andy Reid, and I know what he's doing. He's not drafting from college. He's checking the background and seeing if most of these kids have played with Snoop. Because if you look at these kids' background, like the Tyreek Hills and everything, everybody played with Snoop. So when you play with Snoop,
he got the Snoop
all
All-Stars.
Of them are burners.
He got the Snoop All-Stars on his squad.
Listen, the kid that's hurt now, the kid number 13, D'Anthony Thompson, he was the original Mamba.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tyreek Hill, he's from Snoop. So he's going to, the gig is up, Big Red. The gig is up. You're going to Snoop and them getting your players.
Nah, man, I forgot. What was the rap group that Snoop tried to bring out sometime? I forgot. He got them boys.
I don't know who the rap group is, but every single football player that has grown into an NFL star, Snoop has been a hell of an impact on that side of things.
Indeed, smart people. Sure. Okay, so my next question and final one, because it's 8 o'clock and you need to get some sleep. All right, so... If you could change anything in the game of football? What would it be? Because it seems like you have a lot of experience through high school, college, you know, in the NFL. So if you've seen the game from a real large spectrum, if you could change one thing about this beautiful sport to make it better, what would it be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I mean, honestly, you see how the product is on the field, and I love it. The thing that probably bothers me the most right now, and this may seem like a really small-scale answer to an awesome large-scale question, but I don't know why, and I can't stand the fact that the overtimes are now 10 minutes because we're going to keep seeing ties, and
right.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen too many ties already this year, and we've been dangerously close to a bunch of others because of that 10-minute overtime. I think if you're going to bring it to 10 minutes, then it should just be sudden death. Even if you kick a field goal, the game's over.
Right.
To have that, if you kick a field goal, you still get a chance to answer in an overtime that's just 10 minutes, is just begging for ties.
Right. Totally agree.
So if I were to change one thing, it would be that right now.
Awesome. Awesome. This is the Blissman Podcast, Gawkward Radio. Smart people in the building.
And hey, Matt, listen, I got one more request, and I need you to follow me up on this, right? Please. We have to have a movement with this, right? Playing in the NFL right now, I am getting sick and tired of all the flags, you know, and I'm getting tired of seeing the referees getting things wrong with these hits. So listen, can you please band with me, brother, and trying to see if we can get the defense? Just throw it out there maybe on the show. Just, you know, as a question, say, you know, can we get a defensive? Because I don't think it's fair that, you know, they don't get a review on that. Like, you might get a hit at the end of a game or a hit on a quarterback that might, you know, be an impact on the win or the loss. So what do you feel about, you know, having a red challenge on some of these hits?
I hear you, and I think that's a great idea because I think the heat of battle, it's tough to make those calls for some of these refs. Like, you see stuff happen live, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to see exactly what happened. So I think that's a great idea to be able to challenge and have these refs review because, honestly, I think some of these they would have taken back. And I think anytime you start seeing new rules get put in place like this, especially rules that concern player safety, it's tough. It's tough the first go-around, and you're going to see everybody's overly sensitive to it. You're going to see more flags called on things that, you know, probably shouldn't be called, and it tends to be over time. That's why you try not to, as upset as some of those Clay Matthews plays, where you try not to overreact right away because things do tend to self-correct. But, you know, it's definitely something I have to look at. I think that would be a great solution to be able to review some of these. And, you know, because it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about getting things right.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Agreed.
How you act, man.
Agreed.
Well, man, listen, this has been in the making for at least 2 months.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you immensely. I appreciate you guys' presence. You know, you guys are not stuck up like ESPN. You know what I mean? And I love y'all for that. Like, I really love y'all for that, Matt. Truly, man. And welcome to Blitz Mad Podcast. And hopefully we can have you back on in maybe a few weeks or so.
Indeed, man. Smart people fishing the building. Got Matt Hamilton in the building.
The Hammer.
The Hammer.
Y'all just heard it here first, man.
Blitz Mad Podcast, Gawkward Radio. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Matt, man, we really appreciate the time today. We really are glad that you spent time. We hope that this was an engaging endeavor that, like, you would, you know, sometime experience again. And, you know, man, you know, thank you for coming out, man. It's greatly appreciated. If people want to catch you on Twitter or in social media, where can they find you?
I'm at Matt Hamilton 25, and I appreciate you for having me on. I appreciate you getting on. Anytime you want me back, just say the word. I'll jump right back on.
Indeed. Thank you again, man. Smart people are fishing the building. This is Matt Hamilton, producer of Good Morning Football, the best football morning show, the best
ever.
Sports show ever, for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
let's keep it 100.
That's how I feel.
Indeed. Matt, thank you so much, man. Get some rest, man. You got a big day tomorrow. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings to you.
I'll try. Appreciate you guys. Have a good night.
Indeed. Hey, yo, two, we going to a real break. We just did an hour and 10 minutes straight. Straight. This is the Best Man Podcast, Cockaway Radio. We go way, 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 way beyond whistle. This is Fly Sports Talk, not Dry Sports Talk, you heard?